Hi everyone, and welcome to Travel In. Today for the second episode, we travel in the greater Kuala Lumpur, in the state of Selangor, a village 30 minutes from Kuala Lumpur city center to meet with the founder of the Fresh Spirulina Farm. Hi Walid, thank you for having us today on the farm.
Hello, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a French expatriate. I live in Malaysia for a few years now, six, seven years. I grew up in France, then I studied there, and I worked in the Middle East. Then I had a personal history. My wife had cancer, then we have to go back to France. And then because of that, we switched to the way of life. So we came to Malaysia, and that's why I'm here.
And so, talking about the farm that we are in here, can you tell us about the spirulina?
So spirulina is a macroalgae or cyanobacteria, in fact, to be precise. It's a very old, ancient living, which is a superfood, known as a superfood because it contains a lot of minerals, vitamins, enzymes, amino acids. It's really a very condensed superfood. Because of that, it's really helping for the health and for the improvement of the health in general. So that's why I was using it for quite long before I decided to cultivate it by my own, because the quality that I was getting was not the one I was expecting. So the best way is to do it yourself. So that's why I'm doing it myself.
So when you said that the quality you were getting from other sources were not what you were expecting, what's that about?
Yeah, in fact, the majority of the spirit that you get is always dry, powders, which is the end of the chain. I mean, this is the least good that you can get. It's not that it's bad, it's the least good. That means if you have it fresh, it's far better. So there's no availability for fresh spirulina all over the world. So that's mainly, now it's starting in some countries. So I decided to grow it and to sell it fresh, because this is the best quality you can get. Compared to, it's like you are eating dry fish all your life and suddenly you have fresh fish available. So that's why I say, in terms of quality, having it fresh, of course, it's obviously better than dry.
Okay, so but how is the process then of making it here in your farm?
Okay, so we just grow it in a medium, in water, because this is aquaculture, and we let it grow due to the sand and to some fertilizer, mineral fertilizer, because this is how spirulina grows. The difficulty is to masterize the amount of food with the quantity of light, with during the period of the year. There is a lot of things that you have to match so that it grows properly. But it's the most important thing is that when you have it fresh, you have it from the source. I mean, you can masterize all these things and you can be sure that what you get is really the best quality. Yeah.
Okay. And so the how long does it take for you to build up the farm? I mean, since you started, yeah. I mean, until you can actually produce and sell.
In fact, it was a specific problem due to like a lot of people because of COVID. I mean, we started the company just 1 month before COVID. So of course, the building of the farm took a long time because of the MCOs, you know, the restriction of movement.
The lockdowns, yeah.
But it took me 15 months to build the farm from scratch. But normally it should have been 6 to 7 months.
Okay.
But after that, now we've been ready. Once the thing is that in order to grow the spirulina, you need the place where to grow it. Okay. Because this is water ponds, artificial water ponds. So you have to have the farm completely ready so that you can start growing it. So once it's ready, you put the water and you let it grow very slowly, because we start with few hundred liters and the target is 30,000 liters per pond. So going from 200-300 liters to 30,000 in density, it takes a lot of time. So this is what happened, and it took us four or five months before we'd be able to have a production, a beginning of production. Then from one pond to the other, which are the same size, around 110, 120 square meter each, it's quite faster because the spirulina multiplying every 48 hours, it doubles the size. So that's why if you have 1 kilo today, within 48 hours, you will have 2 kilos. It's fast, as long as you reach a certain quantity. So that's why from one pond to the second, then it was faster, not months, but weeks or days.
So that's a food that is constantly in expansion, basically.
Yeah,
so the source never stops.
Yeah, because this is a cellular division. So it's like some of our cells. It's permanently growing, permanently growing. And if it gets all the conditions available, that means the weather, the light, mainly the light, sunlight, and some heat, but Malaysia is not a problem, and the right amount of food, the good exposition, the high quality of water, then it grows very fast and very well. Sometimes faster than 48 hours, but let's say the safe side is 48 hours. To have the quantity doubled every time.
Wow, okay.
So it's quite fast. But this is the magic of microalgae in general. They are growing very, very fast.
So you mentioned as part of the algae's family, but there are questions about this.
In fact, it's not a microalgae. It's a cyanobacteria. Cyano means from the word cyan, which is blue-green. It's a blue-green algae, but it's a blue-green bacteria that behaves like an algae. It makes chlorophyll by photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
It grows like an algae, typically like an algae. That's why they put it in the algae species. But technically, it's a cyanobacteria.
Okay.
But edible bacteria, like a lot of bacteria that we have. Our gut is made of bacteria. I mean, we are mainly made of bacteria. This specific one is mimicking the vegetal world, like other algae. That's why they put it in this world, but it's not technically an algae.
Okay, so it's a bacteria, but with the specificities of an algae in terms of chlorophyll and development and all that. Okay, so now once you have the final product, what do you do with it? How do you actually make it eatable?
Okay, so the thing is, of course, spirulina is growing inside water. It's an aquaculture, so we have to harvest it with a very fine mesh, which is the size of a spirulina is around 30 microns.
Yeah.
So it's one third of the size of one very hair, very, very small.
Yeah.
So you need a sieving system, filtering system, that where you put the spirulina, and only the spirulina is catched by the system, and the remaining, which is water. In the pond there is only spirulina and water, nothing else. So you gather all the spirulina at the top of the filter. Once this is done, you have still to remove the remaining of the medium, because spirulina is growing in the medium of around 10 of pH, between 9.5 and 11. And this very high pH protects it from contaminants.
Okay, so it's very safe.
Yeah, it's very safe. Inside the pond, it's very safe. But this is very high pH for your stomach, so you don't consume it like that. That's why you have to remove as much medium as you can. Then it becomes an average pH around 7-8 when you remove all the medium. So that's what we do is that we sieve it first. Once we sieve it, we have removed most of the water. Then we try to press it either with weights or with a vacuum system, and mine is a vacuum system that I made. Then we remove the totality of the water, of the medium, which was inside, with all the minerals and everything which was in the pond. So you have only the spirulina remaining. It's becoming like heavy cheese, you know? So then it's the best way to eat it. Really, it's the best way, because it's fresh, it's still alive, and it's very potent, and it's absorbed very fast. Within half an hour, if you eat it, within half an hour, the spirulina is in your blood. It does not need to be digested.
Okay, so all the nutrients don't get digested by the stomach, it goes straight into the body.
Yeah, I mean, they're partially digested, but fast digested. I mean,
fast.
It's like sugar. When you have a sugar, you see it's going fast in your blood.
Yes.
But other foods need to be digested, and this digestion, you lose part of the benefit and of energy you lost from your side, and some of the benefits are lost because of digestion, which is normal. But in this case, it's very fast to be absorbed, because basic elements that are break down quite fast.
You keep it fresh in the fridge. How long can that last?
Yeah, of course, like anything fresh, like fresh fish or fresh meat or fresh whatever, it have a shelf life, very short shelf life. You cannot have a fresh fish outside like that for a week. few hours and it will be spoiled. It's the same for spirulina because it's fresh and out of its medium, then it will perish if you don't cool it. That means you have to put it in the fridge. Then you have a shelf time around 7 days, sometimes more, depend how clean you manipulate it. Then if you want to have a longer shelf life, you have to freeze it. So that's what we do. We propose it fresh or frozen. Frozen is around 3 to 6 months. It can go to 9, but I don't advise to keep it more than 3 months. That's why I sell it in a small quantity that will be supposed to be finished in 15 days. So, but it could stay several months.
So it doesn't lose any benefits when it's frozen?
Like the same than fresh fish and frozen fish.
Okay, so we keep everything.
Yeah, you keep nearly everything, okay? But the time, because freezing at that temperature is like heating in certain way. Mm. Because if you freeze for too long, then
it,
of course...
It burns you lose.
You start to lose some benefit. That's why I say try to finish it within 3 months.
All right, but that's good enough already.
Yeah, because it's designed and the quantity is done for being finished within 12-15 days.
Mm.
So there's no point to keep it 3 months.
You can harvest the spirulina anytime, quantity-wise, or do you have some...
No, we have some constraint. The spirulina can be harvested, you can harvest technically, you can harvest anytime. But the best of the spirulina have a cycle, starting in the morning, ending in the next morning, okay? It's like, just to make a schematic view, it's like a baby burning in the morning, then it grows during all the day, it finishes building its construction during the night, at the end of the night, before the next morning, this is where the spirulina is adult. Then it's the best time to harvest it.
To harvest it.
Yeah.
So we eat the
full adult,
grown food.
If you wait, you harvest it in the middle of the afternoon, for example, or the beginning, end of the morning, then it restarts the cycle. That means this is a cellular division. Instead of having one grown spirulina, it's split into two.
Mm.
So you have new babies. Instead of one adult, you have two babies.
So this is related to the sunlight.
Yeah, the cycle of the sunlight and the feeding and the night, during the night it's finishing its conversion. So that's why we harvest it very early in the morning, very very early in the morning, before the sunrise.
Before sunrise.
Yeah.
That sounds very amazing for a food supplement, which is not a supplement,
yes,
actually.
You
can fresh.
I don't like the word supplement because it's a food by its own. That's why they're using in NASA and ESA, European Aerospace, they are using it as a food, not as a supplement.
So they can dry it and consume it in space,
yeah,
basically.
This is what they are doing, because it's so dense.
Because it has all the necessary nutrients,
yes,
to sustain the human body.
Yes. There's some case there are some lack of vitamin C, but they have developed a way to have more vitamin C in it, but in fact it's quite complete, you see, so you can survive on spirulina and water for quite long time. This is what the Kanombu tribe, the one that made the discovery of this by the NGO in the end of the 80s or 70s, they saw that these people, when there is a famine, they just harvest this at the top of the Lake Chad in Africa. And they eat that one because there is nothing else to eat. There's no more fish. There's no grass. No plants. Nothing. It's the desertification. So they eat only spirulina for months until the period of rain come back. The rainy season come back. Then it grows again and fish come back. So for months and months they feed only on that. And this is in several thousand years they are living like that. So it's the proof that you can survive only on spirulina.
Yeah.
There's no need, I mean, today.
Well, we still need to have the pleasure of,
yes,
the other
foods.
Yes,
of course, but this is showing how good spirulina is, how concentrated in nutrients it is.
Yeah.
It's not the only one, but it's the most concentrated one. There are other very good food, very good, like that we consider a supplement, but they are food. But the spirulina is the most concentrated one. That's why they are using it in space.
That's why a lot of research have been done towards that, to NASA and the European Space Agency.
NASA is the one who did the most studies on spirulina.
Mm-mm.
And so far, nothing better.
And so what's your plan with the farm here now? It's been a month and a half that you're actually selling, or two months, about
something
that?
Like 2 months, yeah.
That starting you can actually produce enough to sell. So there has been a process of starting the farm. So the first spirulina, the first harvest were kind of not adapted, so you had to renew them.
Yeah, because every time the spirulina moves from one place to another, if the place is very different, for example, the micro farm where I developed the spirulina for R&D for several years, nearly 2 years, maybe three, it was at the backside of my house. There was a lot of trees, so the light was not the same, the exposure to sun was not the same. So then when I shifted here to the farm have been designed and chosen because of the sunlight exposure. All this is a big change for the spirulina. Every time you change, there is adaptation. Adaptation means part will die, the strongest one will survive, and then the strongest one will do the new generation that will be stronger and stronger. So now we are in the process of multiplying it, because as I told you, we started with a few hundred liters. We went to the full pond, which is around 30,000 liters. Now we have 3 ponds of 30,000 liters and 2 ponds of something like 60,000 liters. So we have to fill them.
So 5 massive ponds expect a big production in the near future, hopefully.
Yeah.
So the development of the farm will be to keep expanding, or do you have other plans within the development for the spirulina farm? Or
first of all, we would like to be able to sell it in fresh, but it's not the only option, because the demand will decide for it. It's a family size, so that's why it's artisanal, like the French says.
And so you are also probably looking at having dry spirulina,
yeah,
or powdered?
Not powder, but in fact, when it's in powder, the cells have been broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once the cells are broken, it's like you have a banana and you peel it. What will happen? It becomes black because it's oxidized. This is the oxidation of everything living. If you open it, it just spoils.
Yes.
You see? So the that's why dry powder or spirulina powder is not the best you can get. So what we are trying to do, we'll try to dry it at very low temperature, but keep it in its complete form. And once it's dried at very low temperature, during 15 hours, 12 hours, it takes a lot of time to dry something at low temperature. We will have to do it at certain point, maybe soon, I don't know yet. But once it will be done, then it will become the shelf life will be far longer.
Of course.
Around 2-3 years without any problem.
Okay, wow. So yeah, the difference is the low temperature drying keeps the cells together,
yeah,
compared to what we can find in, usually in pharmacies or in shops where it's in
powder
which has been dry with a very high temperature,
yeah,
and so broken the
years.
Cells, so the quality is less than the slow drying.
Yeah, because of the process, and they have no choice. They are producing so much that they have
the
no
quantity.
Space or time to dry it in a big surface. So they have to do fast drying and at very high temperature, around 150 to 200 degrees. There are other production. I heard now that they're doing a flash dry by freezing it. I don't know exactly how they are doing, but they are freezing at very, very low temperature, which is the same than very, very high temperature. You still break the cells.
Break, yeah.
You see? So, and that's why the reputation of spirulina being a smelly, fishy food or smelly, fishy supplement is because of the high temperature. The oxidation made the smell and the taste. While when it's fresh, as you tested it last time, there is no smell,
no
test.
It's closer to spinach,
yes,
than fish, actually.
Yes, because it's fresh.
Yeah.
So when something is fresh, like fish, when you just have the fish going out from the sea, smell it, there is no smell.
Mm.
Wait for a few hours.
And it comes out.
Yes, it comes out. That's why we try to get it at the best of its time, that means its life, when it's really new, really baby, really fresh, you see. And then it's alive. That means if I take one of the things that I'm selling a pot of spirulina underground, within 3 to 5 days, if I take it from the pot and the jar, the glass jar, and I put it back in the pond, it will grow again, because it's still alive.
Wow, so it's the usage is...
Yes. You're using something alive.
it's crazy. I mean, there is no end to it. It's like constantly being reused easily. So you mentioned the pot of the jar of 100 grams that you're selling. So that's about 30 ringgit.
Yeah. So it's ringgit for 100 grams.
About less than 10 euros, close to 5 euros if we do a conversion for the listeners.
5-6 euros.
So for 30 ringgit, and that's good for one person for 1 week in terms of consumption.
Yeah, 1 week to 10 days if you are very precise.
If we are really into it, obviously.
Yeah, because it's 10 grams per day, so 100 grams.
But so the 10 grams per day is the suggested intake amount for one person to have the necessary benefits of
this
period.
For an adult, an average adult, of course, if you are doing 2 meters or 1.50 meters, the quantity are not the same, but each one sees his benefit. The kids and the elderly needs less.
Okay.
But the average age adults, they need around at least 10 grams.
So, but what's interesting as well is that we tried the other day is that with spirulina, it's not only to mix up in a liquid or drink as a smoothie, we can actually make recipes with it.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things. In fact, there is no limit. The limit is your imagination. But what we are used to do is we call it a spirulina tapenade. Mm-hmm. From the famous recipe in the south of France, based on olive.
Yes.
Then we just replaced the olive by the spirulina, and after we adapted it a little bit, but it's with olive oil, garlic, some salt, some black pepper, some chili pepper, lemon, and I like to add some apple cider vinegar.
So it becomes some kind of guacamole,
yes.
Tapenade. Guacamole in terms of color, because it's green, very green. But tapenade in terms of taste, because we do have the garlic, the salt, the pepper.
Yeah.
Just missing the olive though, but I'm sure people can try on their
it's
own.
It's very tasty. I had a lot of friends and clients that tried it. And
everyone loves it.
No one said, oh, it's not good.
Yeah.
So hopefully I think everybody will like it.
And can be used also as pesto for the pasta.
Yeah, we use it in the pasta. So you just spread it in the bread. We have a sandwich because of the density, because of the amount of protein in the spirulina, which is three, four times more than in meat. It's very dense. So when you eat it, you are really filled quite fast.
It's very filling.
Yes. You feed yourself. You eat something. So it's very heavy. That's why it's helping people that have weight loss problem, because of this small quantity will let them feel
the stomach is full,
yes, full,
and at the same time with all the necessary nutrients for the body.
So the people stop eating, then it helps to control the weight, because the problem is
there are a lot of health benefits to it. Which could be probably another conversation.
Yes. Just one thing I have to emphasize on it. There is one specific pigment, phytonutrient, in the spirulina called the phycocyanin. It's a blue pigment. That's why they call it blue-green algae. Because, of course, there is chlorophyll, and there is a lot of beta-carotene, but there is also phycocyanin. And this is specific to spirulina. It does not exist anywhere in the world. So far, they did not find it anywhere in the world. So this blue color have a very, very, very strong antioxidant, one of the most powerful antioxidants outside of the human body, because we know that the most powerful one is the glutathione, which is inside the body, that we do.
Yes.
So this one is really very, very potent, and it helps to recover, to rebuild the muscles, to rebuild the destroyed cells. That's why it's useful for cancer treatment that people have, chemotherapy or radiotherapy. It helps them to heal faster. And the people having accident, and sportsmen that are doing a lot of exercise, you know, the muscles are teared, they are broken muscles because they have to rebuild them after strong training. So this really helps, and it also contains a lot of, it reduces the lactic acid in the body, that all sportsmen know about that.
Yes.
And finally, it increases the VO2 max. This is a formula that shows the outcome of energy by the food and by the exercise that you do. That means with the same quantity of exercise, if you add spirulina, you have a higher outcome of energy, of power. So you can run faster, you can run longer, you can make more exercise. I mean, it helps you really to do a lot more. And a lot of Olympic Games sportsmen and
are using that.
A runner like a marathon runners and this one, they know that this is very, very useful.
So Spirina has a lot of interesting
benefits, yeah.
Benefits that can be used for the sports, but also for the people having medical treatments. And so you've been in Malaysia for 7 years, so
yes,
you said?
Something like that. Yeah. And half of this year, it will be 7 years. I mean,
this year
June will be
the seventh year. Yeah. And so you've been traveling a bit around the country.
Yeah, mostly at the beginning. I went in Perhentian, of course, like everyone, especially in Redang, because I'm also a diver. I'm a diving instructor. Yeah, so of course diving was one of my happiest things to do. Then I went also, of course, in Perlis and Langkawi. I mean, the standard one, Cameron Islands, and very interesting things.
So what's your favorite place, you would say, in the country? Apart from the farm.
In fact, they are very, so nice, so interesting that it's difficult to choose. Because they are very different. One is the seaside with islands and this thing. Other one is a mountain and fresh air like Cameroon. I like Cameroon really because because we are from France, sometimes we miss this cold, you know. Easily
5 degrees difference between the city and the mountain.
Yeah, it is a
mountain.
Lot.
And so you are settled here and with your family, with your kids,
yeah,
actually.
With my kids, yeah.
So. What do you think of your living conditions for you as a foreigner in the country?
Honestly, it's one of the benefits. One of the interesting things in Malaysia is that it's quite easy living. You know, it's not the easiest in Southeast Asia, but it's at the same time it's a safe country, really very safe. People are nice. You can have your life without being disturbed by people, you know, because you just don't interfere in your life.
Yeah.
You have your own life, you're free, you want to do whatever you want, you can. Of course, because I'm Muslim, it also helped me because it's a quite Muslim country.
Because the majority of the country is...
Yeah, so it helped also. It eased the things, especially for the food, in fact. Because you can be Muslim anywhere. But it's easier in Malaysia because everywhere you can eat everywhere.
You have the choice.
Yes, you have a lot of choice, and you know that it's halal, so you can go and eat. So alhamdulillah, it's very nice to for this point, because it's one of the most interesting thing in Malaysia, the food.
Yes.
There's an unbelievable choice of food. Unbelievable, more than Thailand, more than Indonesia, more. I went to all of these countries, and really, Malaysia is far above.
Well, it's the center of Southeast Asia, so it kind of has all the mix of cultures and backgrounds of cuisine from that we can find in the region. All right, that's very interesting. Walid, thank you very much for your time. I hope everyone would learn something on the Spirina today listening to you and your experience here in Malaysia. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very welcome. It was a pleasure for me, and thank you.
Thank you. Like, share, comment, and join me on the next episode of Travel In.